Rave Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AV Insider. I'm your host, as always, Johnny Mutta. I'm in an undisclosed Northern California location, so it's not really that undisclosed, but I just said Northern California. But that being said, it's actually pretty nice here today. Today, we're going to be talking about protection and stuff of electronics. If you are an integrator like myself, or you're a homeowner who's had an integrator come over and put some of these nice devices, audio, video, automation, electronics, things die, things break, there are power surges, you want to protect that stuff. You probably spend a good amount, whether that's, you know, could be a small amount, could be a large amount, whatever it is, you've paid something, you definitely want to protect it. Things happen, let's talk about protecting them and the things that might damage that equipment. I have Core Brands today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Friend John on the show. But before I get him on here, as always, I'd like to thank my sponsor. It's Ingram Micro. They're the distributor, the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-chain supply solutions and more. If you head over to www.ingrammicro.com, you can check out all the solutions they have to offer for you as an integrator. And you might even be implementing some of these things already. Check them out. As I mentioned, I have John Benz. He's the Director of Power and Connectivity Products at Core Brands. John, thank you for taking the time today for being on the show.
Johnny, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. You know, I'd like to cover a few things. So you're the director of the power and connectivity products under Core Brands, and Core Brands has a few brands now before they kind of picked up a few people. So let's talk about the ones that you cover.
Yeah, so I'm actually historically a Furman guy. I came from Furman, and then Furman was acquired by Panamax. This was about 6-7 years ago, and then we became Core Brands. So we've had a couple, you know, mergers, acquisitions type things. But my role is with really the Panamax, Furman, and Zantec brands.
Okay, perfect. I've used a little bit of the Zantec stuff, not for power conditioning or anything like that. Or it's mainly been like a few Dinky Links, things like that here for power controls. But definitely use some Furman, probably more on the Panamax side of devices that I've deployed out there in the field. I'm very familiar with both, but I know that there's a lot of new stuff out there and you guys are growing all the time. As you mentioned, Core Brands now owns the companies. And I know we just had a show, Cedia, everyone out there, Cedia, Custom Electronic Design Installation Association. If you're not familiar with them, head over to Cedia.org. You probably check out their website, sign up, it's worth it. Us as a community, we have a lot of other good people out there. They can help you with things, get educated. Check them out. It's good, especially if you're on the residential side of things. If not, it's good just to learn. That being said, let's kind of just talk about Panamax and Furman as you know, you guys have power conditioning, power surge suppression, and battery backups, things like that. Why is that stuff important?
Yeah, it's maybe not the sexiest category in the world. We kind of joke about that. It's you know, it's power. You know, you talk about, you know, these cool, you know, speakers and audio video stuff and displays, and then you get to the power stuff, and it's kind of like buying an insurance policy. You know, it's like, you know, something and more of a need to have than want to have. So we try to make it exciting. We try to keep it cool, we do definitely try to talk about the importance a lot, because it is really, you know, it's a critical element. You know, all these electronics, they're electronics. So they're plugging in, and they are susceptible to damage or minimized performance because the power grid just isn't, you know, that great. So what we try to do is really just keep the equipment running as the best it can. We don't necessarily claim that we can improve, you know, how something works. We can't make a 5-channel system, a 7-channel system, but we can certainly make it work, you know, the way it was designed to its utmost potential without any kind of compromise from what's going on with the power grid.
If someone's out there saying that they can make a 5-channel system into a 7-channel system, I'd just like to meet them just to understand and ask them and say, really? What are
totally.
What are you just adding 2 extra speakers? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an important distinction, because when it gets there's 2 big things going on. One is just system protection, which is, you know, is you got lightning, and then you have a lot of other anomalies and dangerous things happening on the power grid. But the other thing is the noise part of it, and that's where it gets into the performance. There's noise, just nasty stuff on the power line that does corrupt the performance of electronics. And so not only do we protect, but our mission also is really filtering that out so that the power that gets to your system is clean, it's pure, it's the way the components were designed to work. They're seeing that kind of power. So, you know, it is really just maximizing the performance of the system and getting it to work at its utmost potential.
Let's focus on what you just said on the portion of noise specifically. For some of you who don't know what noise is, I mean, you're referring to, like, you're talking like crosstalk or high voltage running over the low voltage signal and creating noise and trying to filter that out or clean it, basically, correct?
Yeah. There's all kinds of different things going on. Interference. There's radio interference. There's electromagnetic interference. There's noise generated from other electronics. There's mm-hmm. noise generated from your neighbors. You know, a lot of us have seen this when you turn on the vacuum or something on the old school, you know, CRT TVs. You'd see the snow.
Yep.
When somebody runs the mixer or something like that. You know, and that's noise. That's noise on the line, and that's a pretty gross example of it, but it's happening all the time, and generally it's motors and things like that, compressors turning on and off. It's electronics today. You know, they are just kind of generally by nature they feed back a lot of nasty stuff onto the power grid, and it's all, you know, the grid is all just a big circuit, so everything is kind of feeding into each other, and the electronics at varying levels are going to react to that in not a good way, because they're really not designed to deal with that. They want to see pure, clean, you know, clean sine wave power coming through, and when you get that kind of distortion on there, that's when you start to get into some trouble.
Every time we mention the grid, I feel like we're talking about Tron. Like, we're living on the grid, man.
Totally, yeah.
Can you kind of explain that, like, once that noise, like, you know, obviously, like, what we're trying to do is eliminate that at best case scenario, so that way there is no noise coming back onto the electronics that want that clean signal or sine wave, because that obviously does come through in the audio and the video, as you just mentioned, you know, like neighbor turning on the vacuum, you see on the old CRT TVs, the snow pops in, but because everyone's living on the quote-unquote grid, everything's powered from it, it's definitely all feeding from the same source. When it gets to your devices, obviously what we're talking about is we want the cleanest possible signal. So once it gets to whether that's, you know, Furman or Panamax, one of the devices we're talking about to clean that, can you kind of give us a, I don't know, like a simple layman's terms of like description of how one of these devices is kind of like eliminating those signals?
Yeah, it's really there's a couple technologies that we do utilize, and you know, we can geek out on it quite a bit, but sure. Really it's a filter essentially. It blocks out, so it blocks out the low frequency noise and lets the stuff that should go through pass through. So there's different components that are used in that, and I'm not an engineer, so I could get into trouble pretty quickly if I try to talk about exactly how it all works. But what we do is what we call a linear filtering technology, where if you put it on a scope, what we're trying to do is lower the noise floor as much as possible. And what AC line noise does, you know, when we talk about like the snow on the screen and stuff like that, that's one example. But more often what's happening is it's actually raising the noise floor and it's masking a lot of the signal content. So it's not really what you're seeing or what you're hearing. It's what you're not seeing and what you're not hearing, because you're masking a lot of your signal. Mm. And it's like kind of like an audio, the harmonics and the kind of really low level, kind of just the ambiance and everything like that. That gets kind of covered up by raising the noise floor with AC line noise. And the thing is, when you're, you know, paying for really high quality components and speakers and stuff, you're paying to hear that. You know, you're paying to hear those that ambiance, the harmonics, the overtones and undertones and all the little details and things like that. So if that's getting masked by AC line noise, then you're losing it. So we our technologies will lower the line noise, and it's kind of tuned for the AV bandwidth. Okay. So from low frequency audio all the way up into the video range, we do a linear, which means it's just across the board. We lower that noise floor. And this is a measurable thing where we bring the decibel level of the noise down to unearth and expose the what's being masked. So it's a really we have a demo on YouTube actually you can check out where we show the difference between something, you know, audio content running through a power conditioner and when it's just running from the wall. And you would think you would hear, you know, the difference would be like, you know, you'd hear clicks and pops and noise, you know, the stuff that was removed. But actually what you hear is the music. You're hearing more music because we're actually unearthing and exposing what was masked before. So it's definitely it's something people don't realize they're missing until they really hear it, you know, or see it. Same with video. It's like black levels and detail and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not even realize that you're not getting the most out of your system until you put power on it and then a power conditioner on it and then say, oh, wow, you know, this is really, it looks a lot better or it sounds a lot better. It can be a nice thing. And that's why we really do recommend, you know, integrators trying them out, you know, and customers, other customers trying them out and just making sure that they're getting the most from their system.
If you guys want to see the video that we're talking about or the demonstrations kind of to kind of actually see what all the all that technical geek out session was just about, if you head over to their YouTube channel, this is Panamax, correct?
Yeah, there's actually that particular demo you're going to find on our Furman site. So that's the Furman, and the quickest way, we just go to furmansound.com/YouTube, and that'll run you right over to our YouTube channel, and you'll see it's called a difference demo for that particular one. We do all kinds on both channels. You'll see stuff blowing up and different performance demos, but we definitely like doing the blow up demos. Those are a lot of fun.
It sounds a lot like you guys have been hanging out with the Mythbusters.
We have a test box. You could see this on the channel as well. We have a custom built test box that we use to test our own equipment, but you can put different things in there and surge it with a near hit lightning strike kind of simulation. So it's, I think it's 30,000 amps and 6,000 volts. So it's pretty powerful pop, and we'll go in there and show what happens to electronics with and without. You can imagine it's not too good when you don't have any kind of protection on there.
just to see you guys blow something up is an excuse just for me to come hang out.
Totally.
People ask me, like, why would you automate stuff? I'm like, why? Because I can. Why not? You know, just I just want to blow up that, you know, 100,000 piece of electronic just to get a cool YouTube video.
Now, Johnny, come over and we'll definitely blow something up. And it is one of the more exciting demonstrations we're able to do when people come visit our headquarters. And got a little story. And in fact, because we do this when we have customers come by, we always, you know, we'll take them over and do a little blow up for them. And we actually used to put sausages in our blow up box, and because they would just pop, and it was like really dramatic to put. So we'd put these little, you know, cocktail sausages in there. And the reason we used to do it is because we had a little mishap one time. We had some executives, white shirt and tie folks, and we were giving them the demo. And this box it's like a, you know, big machine, and it's got this plastic lid over it. Mm-hmm. And when you hit the surge, there's a lot of pressure in there. So what happened was we had the sausages, and we hit the surge, and the lid actually kind of lifted up a little bit, and it shot sausage parts like all across everybody's beautiful white shirts. They all were just walking around with this line of surge sausage for the rest of the day. And we decided at that point that maybe we shouldn't do food particles in the surge box anymore.
Oh, I think you should, though. I think you really should. Panamax and Furman suppressing surge sausages since the beginning of time.
Awesome. I love it.
Oh, man, that's great. I thought it was going to be more of like to kind of scare the people, like, oh, I blew an arm off and there's sausage pieces everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's pretty dramatic. And, you know, we're both in Northern California, so we don't see a lot of lightning here. Yeah, but so is Florida and things like that. I mean, it's a constant thing. And then, you know, interestingly, it's a lot of the surges. Actually, I think the statistic from The National Electronics Manufacturers Association is that over 60% of surges, measurable power surges, actually occur within your own home. So they're not from lightning or things happening outside the house. They're from just, you know, your refrigerator turning on and off, for example, or the AC. All that kind of injects a surge into your circuits, and that's, you know, kind of the hidden danger that we don't see a lot. So even for us in Northern California, it's good to have some kind of protection, even though we're not getting lightning all the time.
No, yeah, and so yeah, up here in Northern California, we're getting more earthquakes than we are anything at
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Not very much rain, not very much lightning, but earthquakes is a constant.
Yeah, no rain, unfortunately, and unfortunately, also power conditioners do not help with the earthquakes. I wish they did, but they don't do anything.
You're gonna have to buy earthquake insurance. It sounds dumb, but we kind of need it out here. We live on God's Etsy sketch. You're gonna need that. So that being said, yes, most surges are coming from within the home. And if you have any sort of electronics at all, I mean, it makes sense to protect them on some level. You may not have, you know, 100,000 two-channel system or you might have something more than that. You might have just a simple, even your you have an Xbox or a PlayStation, something like that. Electronics in general require power. That costs you money. You know, we're talking about AV systems, you know, gaming is a part of the AV systems to some level for some people. You want to protect your equipment to any extent, really, and anything is better than absolutely nothing. So at least consider it. And I've seen some of the demos, and I've seen, I'm pretty sure, a friend of mine from Panamax came out to visit me a few years back, to do one of these demos, and he took a standard, we'll call them a popular brand that Apple kind of owns part stake of now, and one of their little outlets, surge suppression outlets, strips, if you will, and he blew it up for me. It was it didn't take much, and it popped, and it smelled really bad for like an hour. But he was just showing me, like, you know, simple power strips for the most part that claim surge suppression aren't really that great. So you really need to be educated on what's out there. And again, you know, something is better than nothing, but try and spend a little more, a little bit of money where it counts, right? If you have some sort of electronics, maybe spend a little extra money. You don't need to spend, you know, millions of dollars on it. But depending on what we're talking about, it's very possible that you should. So that's surge suppression, but at the same time, I think we should cover like battery backups and things like that. When your home is we're talking about automation or something like that, your home is relying on these systems. Everything's motorized. Everything, for the most part, again, you know, nothing that is claiming out there that is wireless is truly wireless. It still requires power, and for the most part, anything that, I'm just going to say, yeah, anything that is wired is going to be more reliable than a wireless signal. So power needs to be conditioned, but when power goes out and your home is relying on certain systems, what do? You have to have some sort of battery backup. Well, you guys have battery backups for lots of devices, correct?
Yeah, we do. That's we've had battery backups for a few years now, and they are kind of specifically designed for AV applications. That's because that's really our, you know, that's where we're at, and so that's kind of the difference between like a Panamax or a Furman battery backup and something you might find at like an office supply store.
Okay.
Because we do the filtering in there, we do the same kind of protection we do on the power conditioning. So it's essentially our battery backups are power conditioners with battery backup built onto them. Mm-hmm. And definitely, you know, it's actually been a pretty growing category, a lot more interest in this, because people are seeing the need to have these critical systems running, no matter what. And, you know, you can, with a decent sized battery backup, if you have an automation system or a control system in your home, you can keep that going for a pretty good time with a battery backup system. If you have a dedicated home theater and you want to watch the movie when the power goes out, that's more of when you need a generator, because battery backups are really made for just kind of keeping the digital components, things like that, online when there is an interruption in power. And it could be, you know, a blackout or just even a brief interruption in power, you know, where something just goes out for a couple seconds. It can wreak all kinds of havoc with stuff rebooting and all that if you don't just let it kind of ride that through. So battery backups are certainly very application specific. You know, we don't recommend, you know, running your amplifiers or your, you know, your displays necessarily off a battery backup, but definitely your critical components and the controllers and the things that that really need to, the network equipment, the things that need to stay online, are really well served with a battery backup.
Good points. Don't try and run your home off a battery backup.
Yeah.
Generator's where it's at. But
exactly.
AV components and such, yes, it's definitely made for that. You guys were at Cydia. I was not there. And I know, I'm pretty sure you guys launched a few new items, correct?
Yeah, we did. We had on the Panamax side, we had some cool new launches, all stuff that's going to be shipping later this year or early next year. But we've definitely been expanding our Blue Bolt product platform. That's our kind of remote power monitoring and management system. So really something, especially for integrators, the integrators out there, very helpful in reducing service calls, strangely enough. Because what it allows an integrator to do, this is really where most of the use case for Blue Bolt comes in, is allows them to turn the outlets on our products on and off remotely from their mobile device or laptop or anywhere in the world. Meaning, if they get a service call and you know, their client isn't getting a picture on their TV or something isn't working, often that can be remedied by unplugging a component, you know, from the wall and plugging it back in. We've all done that. This allows the integrator to do that without having to roll a truck out or advise the client to go crawl behind the rack and find the right, you know, plug to unplug and plug back in. So a couple new products at Cydia, just filling out that line. We have a couple kind of higher end power conditioners in the line already, and we have some smart plug products. But there's a bit of a gap between the smart plugs and the power conditioners, so we have a couple kind of more value price point Blue Bolt enabled products that give you that capability. May attach to kind of smaller systems or less expensive systems.
I want to touch back on the Blue Bolt specifically in just one second. I want to thank my sponsor one more time. Ingram Micro, as I mentioned, if you head over to www.ingrammicro.com, you can check out them. They are the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-chain supply solutions and more. I think a lot of stuff is going to be more for the commercial integrator, but correct me if I'm wrong. If you go there, you could tell me I'm wrong, but you got to head over to ingrammicro.com to find out. The Blue Bolt aspect of Panamax is one of my favorite things. And you've already covered that thing, right? In certain cases, I live here in Northern California. A lot of my clients are farther down in the bay from me. That's a good hour and a half drive one way. Something's not working, get the phone call late at night, and I'm sure we've all gotten that, oh, my TV isn't coming on or whatever, I can't turn this on and this and that, I need you to come out. It's whatever time on whatever day, usually a weekend, usually late night. So you'd have to get it in the car and then drive to pretty much just like you said, oh, it's, you know, you need to reboot the system or you got to unplug this X product at plug it back in. With the capability of Blue Bolts, I'm able just to open my laptop, log in to my Blue Bolt, which is just the system that allows me to get into the Panamax and say, oh, you know, bank one or outlet one, etc., is offline. I can reboot it from here and tell you that it's back on and not have to, you know, do the 3-hour trip just to tell them that something's unplugged, because that's generally what happens. So to save that time and effort, and they're able to get back online within a few minutes tops, is a really a huge time saver in it, and makes you, it kind of saves you a lot of effort, and it makes you look good in the eyes of the homeowner and such, and it just saves everyone a lot of effort, because for the most part, I would say this happens probably when they're entertaining, you know, oh, we're having guests over and there's a big party and I can't get the, you know, blah 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 to work, and I need you here. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen in the next 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
So if I can log in and do it remotely, and I can say, oh, no, this is off, and just let me reset it for you, I'll get you back online. And that's it. It's a huge, like, headache time saver. So the capability of doing so is amazing. And this, I would, you know, that's basically an Ethernet capability thing, which now all the kids are referring to as the Internet of Things. But we've been doing that for years. AV devices, the capability of putting things online over, via the Internet, Ethernet, the Internet of Things, is something we've been doing for a long time, and people are more and more getting into it, and all these smaller companies are kind of like giving that capabilities because the Internet, it's, you know, make it work for you. It really is a brilliant thing. So are all, for the most part, is everything going Bluebolt now with Panamax Furman? Is everything getting that capability, or are there some things that still don't really allow that capability? I think there's a few items that I've specking out for our client stuff that aren't quite having the Bluebolt capabilities, but might be being updated to that.
Yeah, it's being rolled into the line where appropriate. There's some products like we also launched at CEDIA a couple just really kind of almost cash and carry type search strips, much more of just kind of general use, you know, $30 retail search strips, and you know, just for protection, really good technology, and USB charging too. And those aren't really appropriate for Bluebolt, yeah, just you know, at that kind of price point and how they're going to be used.
Right.
But when it gets into the integration world, and you know, that's where our roots and our heart is you know, the residential and commercial systems integration, there is definitely a lot of application for Bluebolt, and that's why we're kind of building that line out. So currently it's there's a lot on Panamax. You're going to see some more Furman Bluebolt products in the next year.
Okay.
But right now the Panamax line is really becoming pretty you know, well stocked with you know, across the board, you can get into Bluebolt for, you know, about $120 or $150 retail. That would get you a gateway for the smart plug, and then a smart plug product, and give you a couple outlets of Bluebolt right there. And then you can go up into, you know, the $600-$700 range and get some of the power conditioners. The stuff that we launched at CEDIA is more in the $300-$400 range. You know, filling in those gaps there. But it really is it's been a nice thing because, you know, we get a lot of satisfaction from talking to integrators who we were able to, the product was able to help in these kind of situations, like just like where you mentioned, where it's an emergency, you know, the game's about to start, it's the Super Bowl, and everybody's got their chip and dip, but there's no TV, there's no picture on the TV, and that's a bad situation for everybody, and for an integrator to be able to say, you know what, I can help you out right now, just give me a second, and they can even just, you know, open up the site on their phone and literally put the customer on hold, and you know, get back on them and say that fix it, and sure enough, you know, most cases that unplugged plug back in does resolve the issue, you know, so it's been a nice thing, and you know, we hear there's energy saving aspects too. There's the ability to schedule commands, so we've heard some nice stories about that and saving money, some integrators actually make this all part of a part of their package for, you know, a recurring revenue, so that they can have a package where they are offering a service to their clients, say, you know, immediate tech support, immediate customer service, you know, whatever it is a month for this, but it gives them, you know, a real tangible benefit that the homeowner and the customer can experience and have a benefit on their end as well, so that their system is always, you know, we're Panamax Furman, all the power brands and core brands are really about reliability and reducing service calls. You know, that's really at the root of what we do, is really just kind of keeping systems running at the end of the day. We want systems to be running 24/7 when you need them. Anything we can do to help that happen, you know, we want to build the products to make that happen, so that you know, everybody's really able to enjoy or get the most out of their systems.
I should just note that anytime someone calls and it's emergency, that means it's pretty much every call that's ever been has been an emergency, no matter how small. It's an emergency. It's always the game, or I'm entertaining, or I'm moving in today and there's no TV. I can tell you right now that if I go in my emails, I can guarantee that I have at least one client that's going to email me about, today's Saturday, it's an emergency, we just put up our new TV on the wall, and it's not working, it's your fault. Also, DirecTV didn't come and put the box in yet, so somehow that's your fault.
Right.
I can't control the box if it's not there.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't really want to go read my emails, because then I'm sure I'll get yelled at. I'll deal with that after the show. But it's always an emergency, so if... with the capability of Blue Bolt and things like that, things are already online, and I can monitor that remotely. You can fix that emergency remotely and instantly. I don't have to leave. I could be here right now. I'm on the show. I could say, hey, John, excuse me 1 second. That client I just mentioned is upset because something's not working. I can check it out. As long as it's on the system and I'm checking via Blue Bolt, then I can reset it, turn it back on, and email her back and say, you know, you can watch the Giants, you know, win today in about an hour.
<There you go.
laughs> And it's really great. I enjoy that. Like, I really don't enjoy working the weekends unless I have to. And prior to having access remote access to systems, it was okay. I would always get that emergency phone call, and I'm just gonna have to go drive to wherever, you know, somewhere really nice in California, and it for someone else and kind of go fix this problem. A lot of times it was like, oh, the power's not plugged in, or the second most common was the HDMI cable's not plugged in, which I probably have called and said, can you please make sure the HDMI cable's plugged in before I drive an hour and a half to come see you? No, it's fine, it's cool, we already did that. Well, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But in terms of power, that's a key thing. You really need to protect your devices. Surges happen. It's like you said, what was the percentage you said that 90% of surges are within the home?
I think it's roughly 60.
60?
Yeah, it's over half, and okay. I think it's 60%. And you know, it's always, you know, going to be varying, but it's definitely the majority. And I believe the statistic was 60%.
Can you give me a general description on how like Furman and Panamax differ from each other? Is Furman more of like the pro audio side, and like Panamax is more residential stuff?
Yeah, it's a question we get quite often, because you know we do have two power brands, and what is the difference between them? And Furman's roots are actually very much in the pro audio and actually the music industry side.
Okay.
Interesting history as a Bay Area guy, you can appreciate this because it is a Bay Area based company, and the founder Jim Furman was actually a sound engineer for a lot of Bay Area bands like the Grateful Dead and the Steve Miller Band, and he would create or build. You know, he was a real gearhead, and he would build stuff like reverbs and different signal processing units for the band. This was when, you know, a lot of people were experimenting with different sounds and things like that, just right out of his garage. So he started to do a little bit of manufacturing and started selling. And Furman really started on the music industry side doing signal processing stuff. Until 1983, Jim Furman came up with this idea for the band of having a power strip that goes in your rack and has lights on the front that you pull out so you can see your gear on stage. So you plug everything into the back, and then on the front you got these little flashlights that pull out, and you don't have to, you know, if you want to change your dials or your settings on your guitar rack, you wouldn't have to have the house lights turned up. And that became the thing. That's what put Furman on the map, and we still sell that, you know, an iteration of that product. And that's really our bread and butter, is those rack mount kind of, you know, you'll see it. You go around, you go to shows and gigs and stuff, and you will see Furman pretty much everywhere. I mean, it is definitely the Kleenex of power conditioning in the music world. So that's really where most of our the Furman business is in that on that side. And then we did introduce in 2001 a home line, and our residential products actually they're really high performance, because they take, not only do we do stuff for musicians on stage, but we also do a lot of power conditioning for studios. And we took that kind of same technology that we use in where it's really about getting super low noise floor in the studio, and we created this kind of high performance audio line. And then when Panamax and Furman came together, because Panamax's history is much more on the protection side.
Okay.
And Panamax really started actually in the office, you know, protecting like, you know, fax machines and copiers. So kind of industrial office machine type products, you know, in the started in 76, but in the, it really came to life in the 80s and 90s when, you know, these big copiers and things were getting blown up left and right, and fax machines and all this expensive equipment. There wasn't really anything on the market to protect that kind of equipment. So that's where Panamax came in and started really doing some really cool innovative protection. In a nutshell, we both would have ended up getting into this audio video side of things, where a lot of it is also the filtering. In a nutshell, the Panamax is really based on protection, and Furman is where you get into really the performance level on the residential side of things. So there's kind of a pretty diverse it's a, the one thing that we like is that we're one manufacturer that you can get a lot of stuff from. So if you need battery backup, if you need vertical power protection, if you need just something on the floor, you know, whatever you need, we probably have it between our two brands. If you want to do a, you know, high-end two-channel, super audiophile project, we got the power conditioner for that. If you want to do, you know, basic kind of just a media room, we got you covered there. So across the two brands, we try to really fill in all the needs. You kind of start with Panamax, and that goes up to kind of a certain price point and protection level, and then there's a little bit of a crossover, and then Furman will take it from there up into the really, really high performance products. So that's really where the differentiation is.
Okay, so do you see, like, do you ever hear cases of an integrator or someone that, you know, is out there in the field that they're using like a mix of Furman and Panamax, of like they're wanting to get like good performance for this system from Furman, and then like more of the protection side of Panamax deployed in the same space?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you'll see that quite a bit. And Furman actually has some at the higher end products. There's a some really robust protection from our because of course, you know, coming from the pro audio side where you're protecting gear on stage, that's like mission critical. You mm-hmm. know, you can't have a power surge. We don't want to be responsible. Furman doesn't want to be responsible for like the Rolling Stones like stopping their concert halfway through. that would be some bad PR for us.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of technology going on both brands. And it's really because it sounds like when you explain it, it kind of sounds like, oh, so you're kind of like a Toyota and Lexus, where it's like you have a high end brand and a low end brand, and that's not really it. Mm. It's more like we liken it more to like a BMW and Mercedes, you know, where they're both premium brands, but and they're both, you know, really high performance, but it's really kind of what are you doing with it? What is your application? And in fact, it's more like a Land Rover and Mercedes. You know, do you want to go off-roading? Do you want something 4x4? Do you want a sedan that's, you know, going to give you a smooth ride? It's really, what are you doing? Pick the right one. They're both, you know, going to give you great performance.
But don't pick the wrong one. No, just kidding.
But don't pick the wrong one. Yeah, that's
never
that's
pick the wrong
advised.
One. You
never
chose pick the wrong poorly. One. now, I kind of said something like that, but I didn't really mention. I said banks, and what I was referring to, if you guys aren't familiar with the Furman or Panamax line, that on the back of your power conditioners and such, and maybe even the power protection, but I believe more on the power conditioning side, that you have banks of outlets that are can be done that allow sequencing, things like that?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Can you explain to these people why sequencing is important, or why giving them banks of outlet is even a thing? Why, you know, I mean, if you look in the back, you know, without reading it, you know, just from a distance, okay, it's just a bunch of plugs where you plug our devices in. That's great. And that's essentially kind of what it is, but there's obviously more to it. What I'm talking about is the banks that, you know, bank one has two outlets, bank three could be four, and bank three is, you know, three or four more outlets. And that's kind of grouping them for what I'm asking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple different reasons why we do that, and you'll see that across a lot of different power, when you get into especially power conditioning where there's filtering, because one reason you separate banks of outlets is because you can actually isolate those from each other. So it actually adds another level of filtering, and we talked about a little bit about how crosstalk happens and mm-hmm. how you know, some of the noise generated is actually coming from other electronics in your house. Well, even the other electronics you have plugged into the single power conditioner can inject noise and interference into each other. So that's where we can do like an audio bank and a video bank. And it's really, it doesn't matter if you plug the audio stuff into the audio or the video, they're just really kind of, we label them that way, but it's really this, that you got separation between the two. So we're reducing the interference and the crosstalk between the two. The other thing that you had mentioned is sequencing. And so sequencing is typically, you know, a lot of us have experienced where you turn on your amplifier and you hear the speaker pop, mm-hmm. You know, there's a thud or something like that, and that can actually be damage the speaker. And on our pro side, we see that a lot, where you know, you have a big, say it's a church or something, and you have a big audio system, and somebody who's not really familiar with the order to turn things on turns on the amplifier, you know, before everything else, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, you got this big loud pop. Everybody gets scared and startled, and there's a speakers blow up, and it's just a bad scene. So
never
what
good
this
scenario.
Never, never good. And then the third one, actually, that's kind of a come into being recently is with networking equipment, because of course you with a modem and router, often you need the modem to turn on first and wait a couple minutes to settle on, and if you have the router on first, sometimes they won't connect properly and your internet's down and it's a bummer. So what sequencing does is just like it sounds, it sequences the power up so that this bank, which could be like two outlets, three outlets, is going to turn on first, and then we're going to wait and whatever period of time it's going to be, a few seconds, or, you know, a lot of our products, you can set the delay, and then we're going to turn on the next bank, and then we're going to turn on the next bank, to give it that time to settle down, whatever it is, if it's an audio transient, if it's a networking piece. With big systems, you turn everything on at once, and you can actually trip the circuit breaker because you're sucking so much current that, you know, turn everything on and it just turns off and you got to go to the circuit panel and trip that. So a lot of applications for sequencing on the smaller home theater or media sites, you know, not so much, but as you get into bigger systems and in networking, you definitely see the applications there.
Protect your electronics and speakers. It's very important.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough on this show today. It's things happen. The scenario that you just mentioned, though, where somebody may not know when to turn on the sequence of events, you turn the amps on and then all the electronics and then you hear the big pop, has happened. I can't tell you how many times I've been to that and I'm like, ooh, someone's gonna get fired. That happens a lot.
It does, yeah.
Unfortunately, it happens a lot. So the sequencing is great. And I didn't ask, can you do sequencing off?
Yeah, and then for all the sequencers, when you do a power down, it's actually going to reverse the sequence. So let's say it was like a 1, 2, 3. When you turn on, it's going to go 3, 2, 1 when you turn off. So sequence either way. And one of the products we introduced at Cedia is a Blue Bolt enabled conditioner at it's a $399 MSRP, and it does have three banks that are sequenceable, and you can set that delay in the Blue Bolt platform. You go in there and you can set what you want the delay to be between the banks.
And that's a new conditioner from Panamax?
Yeah, that's a new Panamax one that's going to be shipping. It's called the M4000 Pro, and that's going to be shipping at the end of this year.
M4000 Pro, everybody. Check that out.
Got it.
I also would have accepted, no, we don't reverse sequence. If anything is damaged, that's your own problem. but I'm glad that you didn't say that. It would have been nice to hear a little bit of humor. Although I don't think that core brands would appreciate that.
Yeah, no, we definitely definitely want to help the customer out as much as we can.
Yeah. To go back, we talked about, if you want to see some of these videos, go to the Furman site. I think you said it's furmansound.com/YouTube. The same can be said about the Panamax side. Go to panamax.com/YouTube. Similar type videos, different products. Lots of stuff blowing up just because, again, we can. Obviously, things happen. They're doing this for your protection and maybe a little of my own amusement. This stuff happens. You watch the videos. This will be a good understanding why it's important to protect the electronics in your home. I can guarantee everyone in their home has quite a bit of electronics that you wouldn't think about protecting more than just a standard plug-in power strip that obviously can blow up. I've seen it happen. I have multiple times. Really quick, you talked about smart plugs, and I didn't really get a chance to ask you a question. I know that Panamax makes a standard little in-wall kind of plug scenario for power and distribution of low-voltage cable on the pass-through side. Is that what you're talking about when you say smart plugs, or do you actually, does core brands have smart plugs enabled to be blue-bolted in back to a bigger system?
We do have Blue Bolt enabled smart plugs. We got a couple models. One is two outlets, and they're both individually controlled and monitored outlets. One is just a single outlet, it's actually got two outlets, but only one controllable relay, so you turn both outlets on and off at the same time. Okay. And the two outlet one has surge protection built in, and then the other one is just kind of a load control module with no protection for like lighting and things like that. They're wireless communication, so we use Zigbee communications, which is what actually the smart meters use. That's why we use that particular protocol, because in the future we might see some utilities rolling out what are called demand response programs, where you'll be able to opt and to have certain things turn off at certain times of day when the meter sends a signal saying, you know, we're going into a different pricing level right now. So lots of stuff going on with the utilities and energy and everything like that. The the smart plugs do, you know, give you all the Blue Bolt capabilities of being able to turn stuff on and off remotely. And, you know, you're not always going to be somewhere where you want to do that when you got a rack of equipment. So it does give a lot more flexibility of where you use where you use that kind of product.
The smart plug capability, does that require it to be powered back to like a rack mounted Blue Bolted system, or it itself, the little two gang outlet box, wall box outlets, itself has that capability?
Yeah, it does. It does have. It doesn't. It's actually a. It's a plug-in, so it's not a in wall. It's a on wall. So on-wall. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You got it. So it's a plug-in device. It's a little box with a couple outlets on it, and it's got a Zigbee radio in it. And then there's a gateway. You do need a gateway, a Blue Bolt Zigbee gateway, for that to be able to communicate. That gateway is then hardwired with the Ethernet, and that gives you your communication to the cloud. And then the plugs themselves communicate over Zigbee to the gateway, and you can have up to 15 smart plugs on one gateway.
Everything's going to the cloud these days.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And, you know, it's funny because that was kind of our big thing with Blue Bolt when we rolled it out, because we had this kind of capability in power conditioners before Blue Bolt, but they were, you know, static IP setup, you know, which it's funny how far our industry has come, because, you know, in the, turn of the century, a lot of the AV guys, I don't think were really too comfortable dealing with the network, didn't really want to own the network. And that's definitely changed. But we wanted to make, knowing the benefits of being able to turn stuff on and off remotely and all that, just make it as easy as possible without having to set up the static IP, without having to set up the firewall or do the port forwarding or any of that kind of stuff, you know, for the AV guys who just want to kind of go in and have it plug and play. So that's why our Blue Bolt system is cloud. It's cloud-based. It's hosted by us. And it gives us the nice thing about being on the cloud is that we can add features and value, you know, to the products that are already out there. So we just rolled out an update not too long ago that actually does allows you to do some network management and monitor IP addresses on your network and reboot stuff automatically if a certain IP address falls off, a certain device falls off. So that's just something on our cloud side. No need to upgrade the hardware. Just a feature that we've been able to add through the cloud.
It seems crazy/scary to implement a system that doesn't have the capability of remote monitoring or cloud services, because I just feel like I'm setting myself up for disaster. Something is always going to happen, and if I can't see it, I have to go see it. You know, I have to go get that phone call, like, oh, we're trying to watch the game today, and it's your fault that, you know, I forgot to plug something in, or whatever it is. And if I can't monitor that, it just feels like I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, and then I have to, like, hobble down the Bay Area somewhere to try and figure it out.
Well, yeah, and we know, you know, for integrators, it's really all about customer service at the end of the day. You know, you got clients who are, you know, really, you're doing them this great service of giving them, you know, their dream system, whatever it may be, whether it's the convenience of automation in their home or just the cool factor of having their own home theater. And, you know, they pay a good amount of money for this. And you're, as a professional, you know, we all want to give just the best service possible and have them have the best experience possible. So anything that we can do to kind of take out any risk, you know, of that being mitigated in any way is definitely something that we're excited to be able to offer with Blue Bolt.
And I am excited to use it on a daily basis. It's really helped improve my quality of breathing time, I would say, from not having to get those phone calls or minimizing those drive times.
Cool.
I think that's a pretty good overall coverage of Core Brands' power supplies or power products, unless I missed some from Zantech. Does Zantech have some stuff that we haven't covered?
Zantech doesn't not on the power side. We're really focused on connectivity, and really our main gig in Zantech is IR infrared. So you mentioned the Dinky Link. That's by far our number one product on the Zantech side. But we have a lot of other kind of widgets. But you know, just making stuff talk to each other and making it connect. It's different than the power stuff, but it's kind of along the same vein in that it is really just all about system reliability and having things work. And you know, again, not the sexiest stuff or the most exciting stuff in the world, but it's all kind of the glue of the system. You know, it's all what makes it all work. It's kind of the stuff behind the scenes that you really need to that's what integration is all about. So, gotcha. So Zantac is more on the IR and connectivity side, whereas Panamax and Furman are the power brands.
Then I think that I should invite you, which I was going to do anyway, back for a different show. Maybe we'll talk about connectivity in general. We could focus on Zantac and connectivity. I think that would be a good show if you are willing to have the time in the future.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Yeah, there's a lot going on in that world too. You know, I mean, we talked about how much networking has become part of our daily lives, and the AV integration world. Who would have thought that you know, that would be so dictated now by the network? Our content, our communication, everything is just it's all about connectivity. So yeah, would love to.
Yeah, everyone. That well, actually, what's the best way if? If you guys are out there and you guys want to get a hold of Core Brands, specifically on the power side of things for Furman and Panamax, you want to learn more, or maybe you want to speak with somebody to find a local rep, what's the best way that they can reach somebody over at Panamax? Is it just go to Panamax.com?
Yeah.
Or FurmanSound.com?
Panamax.com, FurmanSound.com. I mean, the kind of the parent company is Core Brands, and we do have a website for Core Brands, and you can contact us all there. And for integrators, it's really... Core Brands is kind of the brand in that, you know, you can deal with us and get multiple brands all through one manufacturer. And we try to make it, you know, really easy and have, you know, really profitable programs for doing so. For the homeowners out there and end users, you know, it's really all about the brands themselves and the products from those brands. So, but either way, you know, you can always call us up, ask us questions. We love talking to integrators and homeowners who just want to know what kind of product they need. A lot of the power stuff can be kind of daunting when you first look at it. We can help you set up a system. We can make those recommendations, and we got a great tech support team and engineering team who are always there for you. So corebrands.com, panamax.com, FurmanSound.com, Zantac.com. We can go on and on. There's like 12 different brands in Core Brands, so there's plenty there, but you can certainly go. If you go to Core Brands, you can see all the different brands and go to the respective sites from that landing page.
Yeah, you guys got Elan, you got Chorus, Panamat. You guys, there's a bunch of stuff, actually.
Go
to corebrands.com, and you can check out all the subcategories or brands underneath that family name. The ones we've talked about today, as I mentioned, it's more on the conditioning, protection surge, and remote monitoring side of things. Furman, FurmanSound.com, Panamax, PanamaxSound.com. Go to those sites, check them out if you're interested. Maybe talk to a friend who has some of these things implemented in the field. If you guys want to reach me, you can. I have a bunch of these out in the field. I love them. Like I mentioned on the show previously, they've actually improved my sleeping capabilities because I'm remote monitoring from a distance, and that's the best quality ever. Cool. If you guys want to check these guys out on the Twitter, assuming that still exists tomorrow, you can go to Blue Bolt specifically has their own Twitter account. It's at @mybluebolt. Panamax is at Panamax. Core Brands family name is at Core Brands LLC. And I believe Furman is at Furman Sound.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and I believe the only one that has an Instagram is going to be Core Brands, so it's at Core Brands LLC. They have Facebook pages. They're all over. Just go to corebrands.com. You can learn about each individual one underneath that stuff. If you guys want to yell at me on the internet, assuming that that's still around tomorrow if the world doesn't explode, Twitter account at jmota3, J-M-O-T-A, the number 3, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much all the same thing. Otherwise, just Google my name. I'm probably on there somewhere saying something to somebody. Everybody, this has been AV Insider. John, thank you for your time. I learned a lot today. And I'd love to come out to the facility a few minutes down the road from where I live and watch you guys blow some stuff up.
We would be happy to host you, and we won't get any sausage on your shirt.
If that's the case, I'm going to record that and show everybody the explosions of sausages.
Yeah, totally. we'd be happy to have you anytime, Johnny.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, I'd love to have you back on the show. Maybe we can talk more about connectivity and controls because that's a big thing in our industry.
Yeah, very cool.
Everyone, this has been AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show.